This is class number 8 of the Bible for Today, sponsored Baptist Bible Institute and Baptist Bible Seminary, second year Greek class. This is March the 24th, 1983. We're translating the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 24 through 15, 22. Dana and Maddie's Intermediate Grammar, pages 237 to 245, paragraphs 208 to 215. There will be no class next week on the 31st of March. We'll continue again April the 7th in 1983. This is your teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, Director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Let's begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Father, we thank Thee for this class we can have this evening, and we thank Thee for Thy Word, which Thou hast preserved for us through these hundreds of years. We thank Thee for this language, the Greek language, and for our English language, and for the minds Thou hast given us to understand more completely that which Thou hast given to us. We pray for Bill as he's on duty now in his work and ministry. We pray for Ruth as she translates and answers the various questions. Give her clarity of heart and mind. Be with Mr. Arson as he also is listening, and help him to understand more about this language. Help me also, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll take up then John 14, is it 24 through 15, 22? All right, Ruth.
John 14?
Yeah, 14, 24. All right, I'll play the tape, and then you go ahead and... Oh, that's right. You've been away for 4 weeks, haven't you? Pardon me?
Do I still have...
The cassettes.
The cassettes for Greek, this?
Yes, for him?
What you translated, English and
yes,
Greek 14.
I have completely finished it now. Do you have the new one? You don't have the new one yet?
No, I don't have the new one.
Okay, before you go, I'll give you a copy of the whole new one, the new stuff, completely through to the end of the book. I finished that the other day, and I put them all set. So give him, Ruth. I don't think he can reach those four cassettes. Those are his from the last 4 weeks, please.
Okay.
There you go, Mr. Arson. That's the ones you missed. Well, you've been gone a whole month, 4 weeks.
The whole month,
that's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the first verse.
John 14:24. Hame agapon me, tus logos mu utere. Kaihologos honakuete, ukestin emos, ala tu pemsantos me patros. John.
This is really Greek for me now.
Yes.
Ha me agapon me, tus labus mu utere, kaihologos honakuete, ukestin emos, ala tu pemsantos.
Good.
Patras.
Okay, Patras. Go right ahead.
The one not loving me is not keeping my words, and the word which ye are hearing is not mine, but of the Father, of the one who sent me, the Father.
Not of mine, in other words, not from me, not mine, but the Father sent me. It's interesting, they're all in the genitive, aren't they? Pemsantos and Patras. Right, that was 24. Agapon is what, Ruth?
Present participle.
All right. Agapao and tere is what?
Present tense of tere.
Tereo, all right. Akuete is present, of course. Akuest in present. And pemsantos is what?
Aorist.
All right. Aorist participle in the genitive of pempo. And it's interesting. He that loves me keeps my commandments. How about my words? How about those that don't keep his words? You understand that they wouldn't love him, right? They would not love the Lord. And of course, you see so many so-called evangelicals, new evangelicals, that up to a point they keep his word, but then they just say, well, on separation and some of these other details, and ecumenism and. But the question is, what about their love? And yet the liberals and the modernists and the new evangelicals are stressing that word love so much. But Jesus said, if you love me, he, the one that does not love me, does not keep my words. And the contrary of positive is true also. I think we saw that in verse 23, didn't we? He that keeps my words, he the Father will love me. All right, any other comments or questions on 24? All right, Ruth, right around with 25, please.
14:25. Tauta lalaleka, you mean, part you mean, metal.
I think that's it, isn't it?
John.
Yeah.
These things I have spoken to you, remaining with you.
And since that's a participle, we could translate it in a number of ways, couldn't we? What do you think would be the best way, Ruth, on that? Of the different, a number of the different participial possibilities there. Let me see if we can open that up. Page 224 and so on. 225, 228. Probably 227, long in there. Probably 226, 227. You see those various telic and temporal, causal, conditional. What do you think this menon would be?
What menon?
Mm-hmm. There might be a possibility. Probably temporal, wouldn't you think? In other words, these things are spoken to you while I am with you. You know, while, in other words, during the time, so it's a temporal. Being with you, in other words, like that. Okay, well, we...
Or when, yes.
When would still be a temporal, wouldn't a time idea, in that sense. Okay, any other comments? This says 25. The lalika is what, Ruth?
That's the perfect tense of
lalao,
is it?
Lalao, perfect tense, that's right, of lalao. And menon, of course, present participle of menon, we know that. All right, any other questions or comments on 25? All right, Ruth, 26, please.
And 14:26, Hodev parakletos, to pneuma, to hagion, ha pemse, ha pater, en to onomatik mu, ekenos, humas, didaxe, tonta, kai hupomenese, humas, tonta, ha epon, humi.
All right.
But the paraclete, the comforter.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, that one will teach you all things and bring to remembrance, remind you?
Mm-hmm, remind you.
Of all things which I said to you.
Okay, that's good. 26. Pempse is what, Ruth?
That is the future.
Future, pempo, right? Didaxe.
Didaxe. That is also the future.
Future, right? Of didasco and hypomenese. Hypomenese.
That also the future.
Future, right? Of hypomenesco. Hypomenesco. Apon is the heir, of course, of Lego. All right, any other comments or questions on that? The Holy Spirit will teach you and bring all things to your remembrance. That, I think, prefigures the Gospels, doesn't it? He will bring all things what I have said to you. That's the gospel record, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yes,
I have heard some preachers using parakletos. What case is parakletos?
Well, that's just an ordinary nominative case there, Mr. Ashton. Ha parakletos. The paraclete. The one called alongside to help. The comforter, as it's mentioned. The advocate or helper. Something like
I thought that.
That
those who have been using paraclete, they did not... have been using the complete...
The complete phrase, in the form, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's parakletos, you know, actually has the os on the end, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they transliterated it into paraclete, sort of shortening it up, see. But in the Greek it is ha parakletos.
Parakletos.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Any other comment or question on that? But he's the Holy Spirit. Notice the whom the Father will send in my name. Remember, that was a great controversy in the Christian church. So was it the Father and the Son, or only the Father that sent the Holy Spirit?
He sent somewhere else that he sent him, didn't he?
That's right. I think that's right. Mm-hmm. Whom I will send. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have now another question.
You see, and so the filioque clause, filio mm-hmm. is son, and qui, and. Mm-hmm. And they added that clause in the Athanasian Creed, I believe. The Father and the Son. Who proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son. See, making mm-hmm. the Son, in other words, of equal stature with the Father. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Arson?
In one of the epistles, he is our comforter, which is the talk about the Lord Jesus. Now, how is called here again, Paraclete?
I see. In other words, in the 2 Corinthians mm-hmm. chapter 1, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation,
yes, we may comfort. Yes, and also, I'm not sure, John or Peter.
I see. I know that one in, what is it, Ruth? I think it's probably Paracleto.
Paraclesios,
yeah, of all comfort and Paraclesios. Yeah, it is a word, yes.
Paracolon
Hemos,
who comforts us.
Yes, who comforts us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is that same verb there, that's right.
Yes.
So this is the one who comforts. The comfort is a very good translation, comforter. It's one called alongside to help, you see, to minister, to help you along the way. All right, any other things on that one? All right, he will teach you all things. You see, the Holy Spirit taught these apostles the Word of God and everything that they bring to remembrance, those things that I have said to you. And that's where the gospel record, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were prefigured and pre-authenticated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then later on, we're going to see that the epistles are pre-authenticated. And then you're going to see the book of Revelation is pre-authenticated. And the book of Acts, it's interesting to see the progression. In this place, he talks about the things that I've said unto you. Then he says, greater things shall ye do because I go to my Father. And that's the Acts of the Apostles. And later on, he'll say, and he whatsoever things he will, whatsoever he may do, he will teach you the things that you ought to do. That's like the epistles, and then he'll show you things to come. That would be the book of Revelation in the future. So there's prefiguration of the whole New Testament. All right, verse 27, please.
John 14:27. Erene, tene me, dido me, he me. Ukathos, hakosmos, didosin. Ego, dido me, he me. Me, tarasesto, humon, he cardia. Me, de, deliato.
All right, I think that's the end, Ruth.
Peace I leave to you. My peace I am giving to you. Not just as the world is giving, I am giving to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it fear. Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
No, let it fear, let it be afraid, right. All right, 27. Mm. Afiemi is what, Ruth?
Afiemi.
Present, that's right. I'm leaving, giving to you, Afimi. And then Didosin, of course, present of Didomi. Tarasesto is what?
That is the imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
passive. It is present passive. Esto, yeah, with the theta. So let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled by anything. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's Taraso. And since that's the present tense and a negative, Ruth, what is the force of a negative prohibition in the present?
It means that they're doing it now.
That's right.
Being troubled.
That's right. So what might we say to make that clear? That you're already worried.
Stop worrying.
Quit your worrying. That's right. Stop your being troubled in your heart. All right. And then deliato is also what?
Is that present?
That's present also, imperative. Daily apple.
Is it middle or passive?
It's just the regular active in that one. Daily apple. Daily atto, and the verb is daily apple. See, apple. And this atto is just the regular present imperative. And therefore, neither let it be afraid. That would be stop letting it being fear. Yeah, stop having it.
Well,
the verb, I think, is to be afraid or to fear. So stop fearing. You know, that would be the active. But you know, a lot of verbs are the verb to be afraid, the verb to be frightened, the verb to be this, to be that, you know, and that's all in the verb to stem itself, see.
Is this third person
yes.
Singular?
That's right, third
thing. Talking about the heart.
That's right, let not the heart trouble, be worried. Well, I see the word to be worried. See, it's let not your heart, what, worry, I guess. Mm-hmm. Just worry. Mm-hmm. Let not it worry, if he wants to say that. But be troubled, you know, that's a good...
Be troubled would be from the outside.
I mean, yeah, that's right. Or fear, or be afraid. Let it not fear, I guess that's what it was. You know, the first one is worry, the second
one
is fear.
One coming from the outside and one coming from itself?
Well, possibly. Let not be troubled.
Passive,
yeah. Be troubled by anything. Stirred up from the outside. The other, let not fear.
Fear.
In the inside. That's right. That's a good point, Ruth. External and internal problems. All right, any other comment or question on that?
You are saying about trouble. I'm troubled now.
Really?
I thought that Irene is gift. Now I hear that it's peace.
Well, dosis is gift, and didome is to give. See, but Irene is the ironic. The ironic, and the word Irene, that's peace. The peaceful. She's
peace?
Supposed to be peaceful, yes.
See, I was wrong.
See, the irony. Ironic disputation instead of polemic. Yeah, that's Irene.
Mm-hmm.
Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments, questions on that? All right, right ahead, Ruth, with 28.
John 14:28. Ecusate hoti ego epon humin hupago kai erkomai pros humas e egapate me echarite an hoti epon poreomai proston patera, hoti ho pater mu mezon mu esti.
All right.
Ye heard that I said to you, I am going away and I am coming towards you.
Uh-huh.
If ye loved me, if ye were loving me, ye would rejoice I am proceeding towards the Father.
Now, let me see, I got the wrong hati, I'm sorry, Ruth. I was down the next hati, the first hati. If you love me, you rejoice.
You rejoice.
I think the hati there would be because the on there is to indicate the contrary to the fact, right? You probably wouldn't need to know.
Right.
It's this contingency, this possibility, the on, the hesitancy, the non-clarity, the doubt. See, the on is the doubting word. All right?
Rejoice because I said I am proceeding towards the Father because my Father is greater than I am.
Mm-hmm.
If my Father is greater than of me, really.
Yeah, then me, and then mine, and of me. But you see, after medzon, you see, you take the genitive.
Mm-hmm.
See, so greater than I, it wouldn't be ego.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's just put into the genitive, and the genitive ego is mu, see.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the situation there. All right, that's 28. Ekusate is what?
That's
Eris. Eris, Bakuo, Hupago, or of course, Hupago present. Egapate.
Yes, with the two accents.
That's right.
That's imperfect, isn't it?
Imperfect, it is, of agapao. Egapate. That's imperfect, if you were loving me, as you translate it. Echarete.
Yes, subjunctive.
All right, that's right, passive. Subjunctive, it's passive also, of chairo. Echarete. Ada there, it's just difficult to get the picture. Then the word porelomai, of course, is present of porelomai. Now, what class condition is this, Ruth? This A song. That would be.
If you love me, you rejoice.
Mm-hmm. You have the on there. See our conditions there. It would be in the back somewhere. It sounds, looks like, let me just see for sure here. It looks like it might be. Did you get a shot, honey?
No, it was full.
Oh.
Danny told me there wasn't any more.
Put any fixes.
Sure.
Do you have another film? Pro?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. You remember how to put it in?
I'm not going to take one.
Okay, all right. That's all right.
She
took a picture. She's got a little flat camera there. She just got one of those disc cameras.
I wanted to take
that,
one.
You can't go wrong with it. It flashes and it's focused for you. There you go.
There's no film on it.
No film. That takes care of that. What page are we on, Ruth?
290.
Okay, 290.
The condition dealing with past time.
All right.
As the aorist or proverb, that isn't right, that doesn't. It would be comparative effect condition dealing with present time, as the imperfect tense in both, but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't, so maybe this is a mixed one, huh? If you were loving, if you love me, that's still aorist, so it would be past and past. Let's see. Past as the aorist or pluperfect in both process and apostasis. Well, the other one is really imperfect in both process. Well, it's mixed, isn't it, between present and past. But do you do think it is of contrary to fact? See, you have the on in the apostasis, don't you? A and the on, see? And don't you have this same thing? So in other words, if you loved me, you would rejoice. But see, apparently they don't really love him. That's what he's hinting at.
It certainly looks like it's in that class there.
Yeah, I would say contrary to fact. That's what he feels. They don't really love him, and that's why Peter says, no, they're not rejoicing.
They're
troubled. Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of these things that are brought out by these.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments on these or questions?
I read so many times this passage, and I missed the point. And now I discover something which I did not discover before.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord Jesus said, my Father is greater than I.
Yes.
Well, then this is a point what the
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Jehovah's Witnesses are saying that Jesus is the mighty and God is the almighty. God the Father is the almighty.
He had emptied himself when he was speaking here. Isn't that the point?
Yes, well, but not of his deity, Ruth. See, he emptied himself. In other words, the kenosis.
Isn't that why he's saying, my Father's greater than I?
As the, in the human realm, as the Son of Man. See, that's right. But not as the deity. That's no, as the Son of Man and as his obedient mission on earth. You see, that's true. He's greater than. In other words, that's the, because he lowered himself or humbled himself and became obedient. To the
not
as his Godhead, no. Not as a Godhead. There's no, they're equal. See, as what he says, remember in John 10, I am a Father, are one. They took up stones to stone him. But this here, yes, he did empty himself, but he didn't empty himself of his deity. See, that's the thing. And like in Philippians. See, now many people are teaching that. See, there's a lot of these men that are teaching that today. And they're saying, even some G.A.R.B. fellows, and I've had to trip a couple of them up and mention it in my news report over the years. There was a paper that came out for pastors that Dr. Kenneth Brown wrote for, and his brother Dwayne Brown. Both of them are regular Baptist men. Dwayne Brown is on the Council of 18. And there was another man who was a fellow in New York who was a GRB state representative. I can't think of his name offhand. But they were writing about the fact that he had given up his attributes of some sort. See, I mean, his omniscience. One of the attributes of omniscience, Ken Brown was saying that the Lord Jesus did not know
the day and the time.
See, and that was the thing that, well, as to his Son of Man, as to his position as a Son of Man, that wasn't in his purview, but he knew as God, you see. So that's what they're trying to say. So anyway, what we say in the kenosis, the so-called emptying in Philippians 2, theologically, we say he gave up the voluntary use of his own divine attributes for his own benefit, his own self-gratification. Now that's only what he gave up. He didn't give up, you know, in total his omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, or any other things, but for his own self-gratification. That's why when Satan said, turn these stones, they be into bread, no, he could have used his own powers, but he gave up that for his own use, his own enhancement. He laid them aside for a while, see. That he may take them again. Like on the cross, if thou be the Son of God, come now, save thyself and us. Well, see, he gave up voluntarily that for himself, he did not use that. See.
Well, then what would you say he means here?
The Father is greater than I? Yes. Well, as to the Son of Man, as to see, when he became man, he gave up his position with the Father in glory and in heaven with the Holy Spirit.
He said,
and
humbled
himself, form of a servant, and therefore became obedient even to the death of the cross. So you see, he was obedient in that sense. He is considered to be obedient to the Father, and therefore the Father is greater than I, because the Father is the Father and the Son is the Son. That doesn't mean that they're not equal, but at least on his mission on earth, he is the one up in the command module, the Father, and the Son is down in the actual, what do you call it, the little module that was sent from heaven to earth to do a job, you see. And so he's under the orders of his Father. And he obeys his father. And he does what his father tells him to do, and that's in that sense, I think, great.
Would he be saying then, "You would, if you love me, you would rejoice because I'm going to the Father to get back the glory that I had before."
Yes, that certainly is.
And my Father is greater than I, and if you really believed all this, you would be happy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm going to be going back to the Father, and He's greater than I, and the both of us will then be there, and we can really do a lot more for you.
Yeah, I'll be back in the glory.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because in John 17, he prayed, glorify thou me with the glory which I had before the world was made. See?
Like we would say, he took off the coat of glory when he came down. Now when he goes back, he takes the coat of glory
on. That's right. Exactly. Because he would not be able to endure down here. He would have, but we wouldn't. They would have been blinded and killed if his whole glory would come down to earth. He'd have to be veiled. And so God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels.
Now, another line of thought, it's true that he did not give all his God attributes, Because he knew the thoughts, what they had been thinking.
That's right. Omnipresence. Omniscience. Omniscience, yeah, omniscience. That's right. All right, any other comments on 28? All right, 29, please read.
John 14:29. Kainun ereka humin plin genestai. Hena hotan genetai pistelsete. John.
All right.
And now I have spoken to you before it happens, mm-hmm. comes to pass, in order that when it should come to pass, he should believe.
Mm-hmm. You should believe. Or you might believe. Yes, you should believe. You might believe. That's right. Should or might, giving a question there. Eideka is what, Ruth?
I think that's perfect.
Perfect is right. Of apon, eideka, with a kappa. See? Genestai is what?
Is that an infinitive?
Yes, aorist, middle infinitive. For genomai, of course, the form of verb, so it has the force of an active, but it is a middle infinitive form with a sty on the thing. And genetai is what, Ruth?
That's the subjunctive.
Mm-hmm. Of the genomai, right? And pistelsete is what?
That's also
subjunctive. Active, aorist subjunctive of pistel, right. Aorist with a sigma, you see. Pistelo, pistelsete, right.
Is that aorist subjunctive?
That's aorist also, aorist subjunctive, right. So this is that prin, and after the prin goes the negative, the infinitive genestai, isn't it? Before it to be, before it to come to pass, before it takes place, you know. So here again, he's telling him before it comes to pass, mm-hmm. as his omniscience mm-hmm. tells him. See, so he did not give up his omniscience. He knew what was in him. All right, anything else on that? 30, verse 30, I guess.
On 14:30, Uketi pola laleso methimon, erchatai gar hotu kosmu tutu archon, kai enemoi, uk ehe uden.
I will not speak much with you, for...
And no longer, yeah. Eti, giving a little time hint there, okay.
No longer speak much with mm-hmm. you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he is having nothing in me.
All right, nothing to do with me. There's no part in him, nothing at all to do with it. Laleso is what they're...
Is that future?
Future of Balao, right. Erchatai, of course, present of Erchama. Eche, present of Echo. I guess that's all we have in that.
Is this the other side of where he said to Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you will have no part in me? Is this the same thing?
I guess
the prince of this world has nothing in me.
Yes, I guess mm-hmm. that's right. I guess so, in that sense. I think in the other case, the Lord used the word metos. You have no part with, I think, 13, or would that be? I think that's the only one of the differences. 13.
Meros, yes. Ekes meros met.
Yes. What verse is that?
9, I think.
8 or 9, huh? Okay, yes. So, we don't have a part, but this similar idea, though, that he has nothing
in me,
nothing to do in me or with me or to do with me. He has no common ground, you might say. No common ground, no basis for fellowship in that sense, no basis for...
Why would that keep him from speaking?
Let's see.
No.
Well, the Lord doesn't speak, you mean?
It says, no longer, I will not speak longer with you for the prince of it. Doesn't that together with it?
Yes, in other words, not any longer speak, in other words, not much longer, see, because they're in the garden now, and he's about to be betrayed, see, and he's coming.
It isn't that he's going to keep him
from speaking. He won't have much more time.
Now.
Huh?
I think he is losing now more of his power of resistance.
Who? The Lord Jesus?
Yes.
A resistance in what sense?
Because it's coming, his time to give
himself up. Yes. Well, I don't know about his resistance. I don't know that he had any
maybe
resistance.
Maybe I didn't have the right way, but...
Yeah. In other words, there was...
Why he can't speak.
There's no time. That's right.
In other words,
if you put this with Matthew, Mark, or Luke, Mm-hmm. You know, it's very close. But then he comes with the staves, the sticks, the stones, and the high priest, and a big multitude into the Garden of Gethsemane to take him, see, and Judas kissing him and so on. So I think that's what it means, Ruth, in that context. So apparently Satan is coming, the prince of this world is coming, and he's coming in the person of Judas, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
Satan incarnate, is he not?
Mm-hmm.
Satan incarnate. That's an interesting thing, and perhaps the Antichrist will be soon. Yes, he did. He entered into him, and that's it's here he talks something about the saying Judas is coming. He said, the prince of this world is coming.
Yes.
And he's using a body. Isn't that something? How we got to watch how he uses believers, or why he doesn't use believers the same way. He doesn't inhabit believers, and he indwells unbelievers and never have believers, but he can desire to sift us like wheat, and mm-hmm. we've got to be careful. Any other comments?
And even his words, when you say, Father, pass
this cup,
yes. from me.
Yes, if it be nevertheless not thy will,
we he was some.
Yes. Now, he was resigned because this is to this end he came into the world, that he would die. And mm-hmm. so he was going to finish the work that thou gave us.
He was troubled, he was suffering. I believe that yes. his suffering then started in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right. Heretofore, in John, I think at least once, if not twice, he passed out between them and left and fled. They were going to throw him over the brow of a hill one time, they're going to stone him another time, and both times he escaped out. Mm-hmm. See, this was the power of God because his time was not yet come.
Yes.
But here, he could have escaped too. He didn't want to because he knew this was mm-hmm. the hour that he had arrived, that had come.
How about when first time he returned to Nazareth and preached over there from Isaiah 61?
Yes, opened up the book. This day the scriptures
yes.
fulfill in your ears.
And they took him on the hill.
Yes.
Just imagine.
To throw him.
Go on the hill and push somebody. I believe those who tried to push him, they fell.
Maybe so. But he just passed out through us. He knew when to use his divine attributes and when not to. And this, I'm sure, was not the time. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. That's what it says in mm-hmm. Isaiah 53. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. All right, next verse then, please, Ruth. Is it 31 or 30? 31.
John 14:31. Al henagno ha kosmos hoti agapo ton patera. Kai kathos enetela tof moi ha pater huto poio. Egereste agomen en telfen.
All right.
But in order that the world should know that I love the Father, and just as the Father
gave me commandment.
Thus I do. Arise. Arouse up yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Get up.
Let us
mm-hmm.
go hence.
All right. Very good. So, gno is what we think.
Subjunctive.
Mm-hmm. What
tense?
Aorist. The aorist subjunctive from gnosko. Of course, that gno, that shortened root, would give you the aoristic stem. And agapo, it's present of agapao. And a telepto is what root?
It looks like present to me.
Well, it's an aorist. See, the root is n telemi, and the telemi has two lambdas. So this is a short line. And then, of course, the apto, too. It doesn't have a segment, but that it's a apto. And so the alpha there looks, that's the aoristic, see, if it would be eta or something, if it were the other. That's what you call the thematic vowel, the alpha versus the epsilon, and that's one way. But anyway, he commanded me. See, he was under orders, and he obeyed the Father. Mm-hmm. See, in that sense, he's greater than I, in the sense of he is not inferior to the Son is not inferior to the Father as to his person, but as to his position, he became obedient to his Father, and that was a submission that he mm-hmm. he willingly gave himself to. Poio, of course, is present of poio, and gives that
is
what
imperative.
That's imperative, right? And it's middle imperative. Okay. That's a present of agero.
So up.
That's right. Get yourselves up. That's right. Get yourselves up by your own sin for yourselves. Get up for yourselves. And agomen is what?
Present.
All right, and this is subjunctive. But it's, you see, subjunctive used as the imperative, the hortatory subjunctive, the hortative. Let us go, see. May we go. May we all go. In other words, just like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get up and go. And that's the trouble with some of our our get up has gotten up and gone.
That's right. Or could not we say we're going?
Yes, that's we're going. I guess that's right.
We're
that's
on. No.
Our get up and go has got up and gone.
I say in German language, we're.
We're, yes, right. All right, any question? I notice so that you know that I love the Father, and as He commanded me. See, the love and keeping commandments goes right together. And that's where the real shoe fits and doesn't fit when it comes to the whole panorama of Christian life. It's the obedience, and if you love me, keep my commandments. And these commandments that they don't keep, that belies their love. It shows that they don't really love. Any other questions or comments on 14:31? All right, now let's pass to 15:1. And Ruth?
The Gospel of John, chapter 15. John 15:1. Ego eimi he amphilos he alethene, kai ha pater mou ha gergos esti.
I myself am the true vine, and my Father is the farmer.
Mm-hmm, he's the farmer. Gergos, George. Do you know your name is farmer, Mr. Rex?
Husbandman.
Gergos. Yeah, farmer, husbandman, you know that in Greek. All right, Estin, of course, present tense. So now we start the picture of the vine and the branches all the way through chapter 15 here, in the first part anyway. All right, any other comments on 1 before going to 2? All right, he's the true vine. The Father is the husbandman. All right, verse 2 then.
John 15:2. Pan clema enemoi me feron carpon. Aire auto, kai pan to karpon feron, kapaire auto, hina pleona karpon feri.
All right.
Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he is lifting it. And every branch, and all bearing fruit. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And every. One understood, branch understood from the previous context. Every one understood bearing fruit.
He is cleansing it in order that it should bear more fruit.
All right. So he cleanses it and prunes it so that it will bear more fruit. So it's the aiere and kathaiere. It's a play on words in Greek, isn't it? Aiere, he lifts it up so it gets more light. And kathaiere, he cleanses it, purges it, and prunes it. Feron is what we're.
Present
of Pharaoh and Aire.
Also
present of Aire and Kafaire. Present of Kafaire, Kafaire and Fere. Present subjunctive, that's right, of Pharaoh. Okay, so
could
these are.
Could that possibly mean lift up in death, lift up out of the world?
Take away, in sense. There are two words, there's Aire and there's Haireo. And they're different in meaning. Let's just take a look there. Aero and Haira. One is rough breathing, one is smooth breathing. One means, I think, lift. The other means take away. And let's see what...
lift up, no?
Yeah, lift up. Haira on page 9 is to take or to choose. Haira, to select.
To take away.
Hairesis is a heresy. It's something that selects certain things, doesn't select others. See, hey... Hieresis, a choice or option, see, a sect, a faction, discord, contention, by, and hieretizo is to choose with delight or love, see, it. So hiereo is basically, but of those that hold it. No, this is not the word, this word, we've got iro here, which is the next word on page 9, which is to take up, to lift up, or to raise, to bear, to carry, see, to take away or to remove, see, it could be that also, to destroy or kill. So you see, he could, that's right, it could be. Some interpreted that he takes them away in death and judges them, and it's the sin unto death, and that's entirely possible.
Like those who
many
are sick and weak.
That's right, weakly among you, 1 Corinthians 11, many sleep. And like in 1 John, there is a sin, I say, don't pray for it, the sin unto death, physical death. And apparently when you sin up to a certain point, the other belief on this is, and it may have also a good basis in fact, if a Christian does not have fruit, he's not abiding close enough to Christ, the Lord just raises him up so he can get a little more sunlight to get more fruit. And in that raising up, many times it takes him away from his other position and sort of rends him from his former state, and he chastises him. But in the chastising, finally we get him up where the sunlight is and get him in the position where he ought to be. So he's down here, bring him up. So I think both. He could take him away in death and kill him.
On further down to sin, he's
about the fire.
Off,
that's right. That's right. That's right. And burned up. So these are, of course, a lot of the Arminians who believe that you can lose your salvation like to get in here and say, "We see he loses his salvation here. He's burned up." So I think we'll get around that as we understand it. But this hiereo to choose, and this is hiereo to take or to lift up, her to carry. All right, to bear away. All right. Any other questions or comments on? That was two, was it?
Yeah.
All right, three, Peter.
John 15:3. Eide humes kataroi este. Dia ton logo hon lalalika humi. John?
All right.
Already ye are clean ones through the word which I have spoken to you.
All right. That's verse three. The lalalika again is what?
That's perfect.
Perfect of all that, all right, which I have spoken. Now you're clean. But kathaire, he might cleanse it, clean it, purge it, make it more fruit-bearing to get more fruit out of it. You're already clean, katharoi, same word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The adjective here and the other is the verb. All right. Through the word. It's the word of God that cleanses and cleanses us. That's a very important principle. All right. Any other comments on three? Question? All right, four, please.
15:4. Menate enemoi, kago en humi, kathos toklema, u dunatai karpon feren, athau tu, ean me mene ente ampelo, hutos udeth humes, ean me enemoi, menate.
All right.
If you remain, abide in me. And I in you, just as the branch is not able to bear fruit from itself, except it should abide in the vine, neither is that thus
or so, thus or so.
Neither are ye, except ye should remain, abide in me.
All right. Gotta have two-way communication, the Lord and us and the Lord. May not that is what
imperative
of what tense?
That would be aorist.
Aorist because of the may, it's the meno, and also the alpha there indicates it, all right? And dunatai is present of dunamai, ferin, present infinitive of fero. Mene is what?
That's the aorist subjunctive.
All right, it looks like it would be, but you see, meno, see, and you have mene. Do we have mene there?
M-E-I-N.
Oh, you do have mene?
Mene.
Oh, my. Okay, a different text. All right, that different text has mene. All right, this is theirs. Yeah, that's right. Mene. Ean me mene, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all right. The other text has meno, which would be the present, but mene definitely is a different root. It's the aorist subjunctive. And menete, and we have here menete, don't we? We have the aorist subjunctive there, too. Okay. Apparently, the Westcott and Hort text has the other text. All right, so we must abide in him, and he must have contact and abide in us as well before fruit can take place. All right, any other questions on four?
I observe here the branches, they are grafted in vine. How should I say? In our country was used the grafted vine. The wild wine was used, and the noble one, what they choose, what kind of color or taste or whatever, to graft in through the copulation, like this.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that there's a grafting here, Mr. Carson? You mean like Paul speaks of, the Gentiles grafted in?
Yes.
In the Romans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, well, that's certainly true. Any other comments, question on four? Yes, we have been grafted in to the olive tree, and this is the vineyard, but then it's similar, isn't it? And Israel, who was the natural branches, were cut off. And if now we have fullness, what will be the fullness when they come back in fullness in the in the tribulation and millennium? It'll be a greater blessing than all. All right. Any other comments? Is it five, Ruth?
Yes.
All right.
John 15:5. Ego eimi he antolos humis ta klemata homenon enemoi kago en auto hutos fere karton polun.
No.
Hoti choris emu u dunasta poein uden.
I am myself the vine, ye are the branches. The one remaining in me and I in him, that one is bearing much fruit, because without me...
Not that one, but this one, that guy. That can't answer who does. This one, or he, either one. All right?
Because without me, ye are not able to do anything.
That's right. Not anything. Without me. I see we forget that, don't we? Nothing. Menon, present participle. Of course, menofere, present of fero, tenaste, present of dunamai. So most of these are poiein, present infinitive of poio. So most of these, all these are present tenses, aren't they? Continuous action. Are there any other comments or questions on five? Then? Without me, you're able to do something? A little bit? Nothing. It's important. I suppose if you were to cut yourself off as a branch from the vine, you would wither very fast, wouldn't you? Now, it's not possible to cut yourself off from Christ, but he says, meno, abiding, in that sense of making available the nutrition that passes forth. Apparently, if you will somehow or another just cut yourself off from fellowship with him and not...
Maybe we get arteriosclerosis in them.
Yes.
Cholesterol.
That's right. So that the intake can't come from the vine. That's right, the root.
I have also a comparison. As the vine on which is grafted the noble...
The wine, you mean the vine? The vine?
The noble, as I said before, with the Christian, the Gentiles, the goyim.
Right, the goyim, yes.
The wild vine, they are stronger than usually the other vine.
Mm-hmm. I see. Then
the roots.
Because they've been out in the weather.
They are stronger rooted.
Yeah.
The same thing, I made a comparison. If a Jew accepts Christ, he is stronger than us.
He's got a strong fruit.
The natural vine and the grafted
vine
together.
That's right. Both of them.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
Right. All right. That would be six next one.
John 15:6. An metes mene en emoi. Eblethe exo hosto clema kai exerante kai sunagusin auta kai es pur balusi kai kaiatai.
If anyone should not remain in me, he is cast out as the branch and is withered or dried up, and they are gathered. Is that right?
They gather
them, and they cast into the fire.
Understood, I guess. Well, the Auta probably go with that, too.
Oh, all right.
They gather Auta, and they cast Auta, probably.
Into the fire, and it is burned, or how's that?
Well, you see, the Auta, being the neuter plural, takes a third person singular.
Oh,
so you could translate that they are, even though that's really literally it is burned, but they are burned because Auta takes the singular. All right, so that was six. Mene, of course, aorist is a subjunctive. Eblethe is what, Ruth? Eblethe.
Is that from ek bellow?
Not ek, but just simple bellow.
All right, then that's
the thrower to cast.
Aorist.
And it's aorist theta eta.
Passive.
Aorist passive. So they are cast by someone else. They're thrown out by someone else. And ex erante is what?
That was also a passive.
passive. The aorist passive, zante, is xeraino. Xeraino. See, to dry up. And the aorist passive.
Seer, is the word seer
comes from? Yes, I guess so. Seer, zeer, seer. Possibly so. That certainly would dry things up if you sear it and shrivel it all up.
Dry it up, sear?
To cauterize. Sear is to cauterize fear. With fire, isn't it, with heat.
Mount Seir is the dry
Mount
mountain.
Mount Seir?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Edom's mountain.
Yeah, that's right. Mount Seir Edom, the Edomites, Esau. Zeraino, let's see what that would be there, Ruth. Zeraino. Zeta. And.
I remember something, I don't know if I have the right thing. In April will be, I think, Rosenthal is his name, a Jewish preacher.
Yes, Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. Friends of Israel, huh?
Yes, he will be speaking from the Israel Holy Land archaeology. I suppose it will be a very good thing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
In case you want to go.
I know.
I don't think it's in there, is it?
Well, let me see here.
It's not used in the Bible. It's not put in there, is it?
Let's see. That would be 15. What verse are we in here? Oh, Xay. I've got the it's Xay. I was looking in the Zeta.
Yes.
It's Xay. That's the wrong. I was looking at Zeta. Zeta, but Xay.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. And now, if I can find the Xay, that's a little bit difficult to. That's why you don't use the two of them. Is it near the noon?
Zeraino. 281. Dry litter.
After the noon? 281. Okay. Yes, you see, there's just one page on which that occurs, and if you don't remember the order of say, after the noon and before the omicron. Zeraino is what the word? Zeros.
Mm-hmm.
Withered to dry, and you said sear, I guess that would be part of it. It certainly would dry up, parch, and to sear, like with heat, you see, wither, it would cause wither. Yeah, I think that's certainly a good derivation.
What is the word, zero?
Xeraino, xeros.
Xeraino.
Yeah, xeraino, let's see. What is that? Yeah, xeraino. To dry up, to wither. Xeraino. And you see, here the question is that the ones that the Arminians, they believe that you just take these Christians that aren't bearing fruit and they just men burn them up and they go to hell. You see, this is a picture of hell. But the other rest of us feel that this is a picture of the judgment seat of Christ, where the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it was, you see. Gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, and stubble. And now, another thought is, as far as men are concerned, when they look at that, that's a branch that doesn't have any fruit on it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as they're concerned, their analysis of that is, it's good for firewood, and that's all. It's worthless. It's good for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they burn them up. The men, the other ones that look onto it, they cast them into the fire, and they're with it. And really, that's true. And if a Christian, though, that doesn't mean he's no longer a Christian or in the vine, but as far as men are concerned, if there's no fruit, even the world doesn't have any use for him. He's a hypocrite. He's a,
wood, hay, and stubble.
Wood, hay, and stubble, sorry, is burned up in 1 Corinthians 3. Yes, so is by fire, 1 Corinthians 3. So this is other explanation. There's many, which I prefer rather than the other. Certainly, I don't believe a man can lose his salvation. And I don't think it's a picture of being lost. It's a picture of fellowship. And it's a picture of what men do with something. It's just as good as if it's hay, wood, and stubble, burned up, thrown away. It's useless. It's just like if the salt hath lost its savor. Wherewith is it to be salted? It's good for nothing. To be cast out and trample another foot of men. See, that's that same thought. See, as far as men are concerned, when we don't have the savory salt of what we ought to have, men just throw us away because we're useless. You know, and so I think this probably is the case here. And it could be, we're taken away, cast forth as a branch. It could be here the sin unto death also that would take us and make us to die, and we would die as a judgment from the Lord because we, in many sleep, you see, because we've sinned too greatly, and so it's just like men cast us in the fire and burn us up and get rid of us. So the Father calls us home also many times. Good. All right, any thought else on that? Any other comment? All right, that was six, was it? Ready to go to 7.
John 15:7. Ean menete enemoi kai ta rematat mu and you mean mene. Ha ean selete aitesiste kai genesetai you mean.
All right. By the way, that word pew is interesting. Pyre, funeral pyre, isn't it? Fire when the heathen burned people up in cremation. All right?
Some
pyrotechnics,
sometime in the past, we've been looking for that word, remata.
Oh, remata?
Yes, yeah. We've been looking sometime in the past.
Yes, I see. Okay. All right, Ruth?
If he should abide in me and my words should abide in you, whatever you will to ask,
mm-hmm. Whatever you wish, whatever you will to ask, huh?
To ask for yourself, is that a minimal?
Well, no, not what I wish to ask, but it's whatever you wish to command, ask. See?
Oh.
Imperative,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever you wish, ask, and it shall become to you. Is that
mm-hmm. It shall come to pass to you, right? All right. All right, 7. Menete is whatever. All right, there subjunctive for meno, and mene the same, here subjunctive. Thelete, present active of thelo.
Aitesaste,
all right. What would that?
Isn't that
it is?
Middle,
that's right. Aorist middle imperative, see? Ask for yourself. Ask on your own behalf. By yourself, for yourself, for your own needs, you see. And whatever you wish or will, in the sense of want, then ask for yourself, by yourself, for yourself. In the middle, right. All right, any other comments, questions?
Genesetai, is that future?
Genesetai, yes, that would be Genesis. Is it Genesis there?
Genesetai. Let me see.
So you're in verse 8? Where are we?
Verse 7,
yes. Genesetai, right, it is future. Uh-huh. Future middle of Genemai. Of course, Genemai is a deponent, so it's similar to the regular. All right, so that's, it shall come to pass. It shall be to you. It shall be given or be done or accomplished for you, see. Future. All right. Any other comments, questions on that one? Kinesis there. But we have Kinesitai. Well, this is a different text here. Kinesis, that would be ye shall be, that's the second, but this is Genesis, it's the third person singular. It shall come to pass. It shall come for you. Again, Ruth. All right, I think that's true. All right. Any other questions or comments on 7? All right, let's go on then to 8.
John 15:8. En tuto edoxaste ho pater mu, hena carpon polun ferite, kat aegeneseste emoi matetai.
All right.
In this my Father is glorified, that ye should bear much fruit, and ye shall become my disciples.
Mm-hmm. You should become my disciples, verse 8, edoxaste is what it is.
That is aorist passive.
Passive with the fete, right, of doxazo, and ferete, present subjunctive of ferro, kinesiste is the future of ginomai. So we have our kinesiste, let's see, kinesiste, okay, there's kinesiste. Alright, so that your fruit might remain and continue, that in ye shall be my disciples. Disciples for me, mm-hmm. In my behalf, for my bidding. Any other questions on or comments on that one? All right, let's take the next one there.
John 15:9. Kathos egapese me hopater, kago egapesa himas, menate ente agape.
All right.
Just as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Remain in my love.
All right, so there's a love relationship between Father, Son, now between the Son and the disciples. Agapesen is eris of agapao, agapesa also eris of agapao. And menate, eris imperative of meno, different root me instead of men. All right, any other comments on that? We're to abide in his love. And of course, how do you abide in his love? Where in this context?
The next verse says, if you keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments, that's right. Okay, go ahead, Ruth, for the next.
John 15:10. Te antas entoras mu te recete, menete ente agape mu, kathos ego tas entoras tu patros mu, te tereta, kai meno autu ente agape.
All right.
Ye should keep my commandments, ye are remaining in my love. Just as I have kept the commandments of my Father, and I am remaining in his love.
All right, that's 10, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Teresete is what? Teresete.
That aorist subjunctive.
All right, and menete,
That is that imperative?
Yeah, that's a future. See, meno, we have a liquid future.
Oh.
It's menete. It's just a different form. Looks like meno, but you will abide. All right, tetereka is what you translated that correctly. Tetereka.
Perfect.
Perfect tetereka. Oh, all right. Notice the connection here between love, as you say, commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the Son. What did he do to show his love for the Father and abiding? He kept his commandments, didn't he? And so the same. We must keep his commandments. And the thing is, it's not up for grabs. It's not optional. It's not, well, if I feel like it. It's keeping what he wants us to do. Now, sometimes it's difficult to know and interpret correctly what his will is in the Word, but not always. Mostly it isn't. Mostly it's very clear. It's just a question of stubbornness on our part, not wanting to do what he wants us to do. But that's the measure of our love. And all these people that talk about love in 1 Corinthians 13 and have the great love, be love this, love, keep the commandments of the Lord, and then you'll have his love, and it'll be genuine, not just a fictitious.
Yes. I was reading this morning in Peter, these things they were willingly ignorant of.
Yes, that's good.
That's why they don't keep his commandments.
Yeah,
willingly,
that's right, willingly. Some of them, that's right, they'd rather not even open the book, the Word of God, for fear they might... No, and then
make a comparison with the Lord's commandments with Yahweh's commandments on Mount Sinai.
Yes, the Lord.
Nobody can keep. I read another day. I'm telling you, it's impossible.
Yes, that's terrible. The law was a terrible burden. Nobody could keep it. Nobody would ever be able to. Christ and God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh condemns sin in the flesh that the
even
righteousness of the law might be fulfilled not by us, but in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Romans 8.
And even if I call a play, even that play, they have been sinning and bringing burnt offering, and they have been forgiven again. They have been sinning and again burnt offering, and never finish.
No, always going on, don't they?
Yeah.
All right, next there, please read.
John 15:11. Tauta lalalika, you mean, hina he kara, he eme, and you mean, mene. Kai he kara, himon, pleirose. John.
All right.
These things I have spoken to you in order that my joy should remain in you, and your joy should be fulfilled.
Filled, or made full, or fulfilled, either one. And lalalika, yeah,
perfect
of lalalika. A, present or subjunctive of Amy, is Plato Thay is what?
That is passive.
What tense would that be? Plato is the word.
That would be aorist tense.
as heirs of the beta eater, that's your heirs passive subjunctive, that it might be fulfilled by something else. Notice his interposition of keeping the Father's commandments mm-hmm. and of love, and these things are spoken to you that you have might have my joy. So you see, I think joy is connected with abiding in the love, and the commandments are all together. And the real joy.
It's all words, isn't it?
Huh?
The words bring the joy.
Yeah.
And the words, you get mm-hmm. cleansed by.
That's right. That's
the
good.
Words,
you're clean. The words you keep for the love, to the abides, abiding love. That's right. The words. Start with the words. Mm-hmm. So the more we get into the word and it gets into us, I should say, mm-hmm. the more we're going to abide in. We're going to be cleansed. We're going to have love abiding with Father, and we're going to have His joy. It's all tied in. Mr. Efton, you have another comment?
I think you might remember, I brought this to you too, to the Bible class, when, how many years ago, not many years ago,
mm-hmm.
that tract which I wrote about
yeah.
abiding in love.
Yes.
So many verses and all, gradually, you get to love. Then down again, you get again back to love.
Yeah, interesting. All right.
Well, like on a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful, I had inspiration to write.
Interesting. All right, go ahead, Ruth, with the next one, then, please.
15:12. Haute estin he entole he eme. Hena agapate alelus. Kathos egapesa humas. Sean?
All right.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another just as I loved you.
All right, so that's a great commandment, isn't it? Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Agapate, present.
Is that imperative?
Yes, it is. Let's see, present indicative, but let me see. That's verse what?
12.
The first. Agapate looks like it's the same form as the indicative and the imperative. Remember, we went in that, it wasn't last week we had that. I think that is imperative. In order that you, but it may be subjunctive too. Remember, the indicative, imperative, subjunctive were one and the same. I think after henna, it possibly would be that she might, you should, it might be subjunctive. Did you look that up? Is that?
I think it's all the same.
I think it is.
Probably.
No, but except after the henna, the context,
oh.
I think probably would be the subjunctive. Let me just check and see. I think last week we found that. Second person plus subjunctive, imperative, indicative, right? Agapate, agapate, pate, pate.
Even the same
mark. Same mark, same mm-hmm. accent. Whoops, agapate. Yeah, that's right. Same accent.
Mm-hmm.
The circumflex accent. So in this case, probably it would be the subjunctive. In order that he might. Just as I love, agapesa would be what?
Erist
also, agapao. All right? And may not, there's, that's the wrong verse. Agapesa. All right, any other comments, question on that? Love one another as I have loved you.
That is a great,
strong, and notice how he manifested his love to his disciples. Could ye not watch me 1 hour? He
mm-hmm.
said in rebuke one time, didn't he? He said to Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat.
Mm-hmm,
see?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was review.
I say
they're
too.
All the way through.
Yes.
You all will forsake me and flee.
Mm-hmm.
And they all said, oh, Peter said, I will. No, I'd be crucified with you. I will not never do this. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice. He, as I have loved you. Love is corrective as well as adoring and tender and so on, isn't it? It's got the love that he, as he loved us, and love also chastens, doesn't it? And if he, mm-hmm. whom, what son does a man have whom he does not chasten, as it says in the book of Hebrews 12, doesn't it? If he love me, he keep my commandments, and also whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. Yes, from the Old Testament, and repeated back in Hebrews as well. But the love, as you, so, you think of, well, look at all these different Christians. They're different brands and types. Some in the National Council of Churches, the World Council, some in the, even in the Roman Catholic Church that haven't come out of it yet, and there's some in the Fundamental Church, some in the New Evangelical Churches, but God wants us to love them all, or we should. But
mm-hmm.
you see, love in 1 Corinthians 13, one of the things says, what? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So you see, so there's a lot of different characters. I mean, if people want to escape from that one loving act of trying to encourage these believers to leave their apostasy and to leave their compromise, say, this is not loving. It's not considered to be loving, but I think it's a part, as the Lord himself loved his disciples. But we ought to be giving of ourselves if they would, you know, whatever it would take, we should love our fellow believers, certainly.
Yes.
The hatred there is not there, but yet we cannot love all their works of the believers, all things. And they're right. We love them, but not their deeds and what they're doing, what they're not doing. Mm-hmm. All right, so the Lord with us.
Comparison with, I mean, comparing with Peter, I believe that if he would have prayed, he wouldn't have been asleep.
Yeah, that's right. Can you not watch with me?
Because I compare this with the 15th chapter of Corinthians, which first or second, where is the talk about
first,
taking the communion, the Lord's Supper.
Oh, 1 Corinthians 11, yes. Yes.
11, is that?
If we judge ourselves, we would not be condemned to the world.
That you are asleep.
And some even sleep, yeah.
Some are asleep.
Yeah. Well, that's possible. Yeah, the other interpret that some sleep in death.
It's something over there. I cannot remember exactly what sin is there that you are asleep.
Yes, it's because that they were not judging themselves at the Lord's Supper and they taking the body and the blood of the Lord unworthily.
Unworthy.
In an unworthy manner. Okay, let's see. That's next in Ruth. Go ahead.
15:13. Mezzon tautes agapein, udeis eche, henatis tem suchein autu, se, huper ton philon autu.
All right.
No one is having greater love than this, that one should lay down his life on behalf of his friends.
All right. That's just the huper, isn't it? With the...
Yeah.
For the behalf of and instead of his friends. Lay down the life. That's the kind of love he wants us to have for our fellow believers. Eche, present in thay, second aorist of tithemi, and subjunctive, that he might put down, lay down, give up.
And only he is the one.
That's right. All right, any other thoughts on that?
There you have again, love is linked with the keeping of his commandments, because that was God's command.
That's right, it was God's command, wasn't it? That he laid down his life and he obeyed in obedience and keeping his commandments. That's right. Sacrificial love. Okay. Next verse there, please.
John 15:14.
That's right.
Humes philoi mu este, ean poete, hosa ego entelomai humi.
All right.
Ye are my friends if you should do whatsoever I am commanding you.
All right. 14. Poete, persons of practice, and entelomai is what Ruth said. Entelomai.
Is it the deponent verb?
Yes, entelomai is the actual, that's the deponent. See, so that's the present middle, because it's a deponent. And I am commanding or enjoining, like entelos is command, so then I'm commanding. Here again, you've got that awful link between friendship or love and obedience, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How can people not see that? How can people continue? Maybe they think they are obedient. I don't know. But to be so disobedient when it comes to the areas of fellowship and separation from things of Satan and heresies and false doctrines and various things. Strange, but there it is. All right. Any other comments on this before we go on? Question. All right, 15 then, Ruth.
John 15:15. Ukete himas lego dulus hati hadulos uk oide te poe autu harkurios, humas de ereka philus, hati panta ha ekusa para tu patrosmu egnolisa humi.
All right.
I am calling you servants no longer, because the servant does not know what his Lord is doing. But I am calling you friend, but that's a different word, isn't it? Than the other calling. The other is Lego, and this is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm calling you friends because whatever I heard from my Father, I made known to you.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, Attica from a different route in Lego. All right.
And why is that, Dr. Lee? Why is it different?
Well, Attica from, I guess it's the Lego, to speak that way, Attica to say something, Lego to speak, to name, to call. I don't know what those different synonyms would indicate.
Two different ones.
Yes, in the same context, that's right. I don't know. I speak of you as friends, maybe Attica, and I call you Lego to put a name. I'm not sure those, see what Attica would mean in the synonym phrase there. I'm not familiar with those distinctions at this point. We'd have to, I don't know whether they give that in the dictionary here, or lexicon or not. Attica. I guess it's just a, yeah, reo is right. Yeah, reo. So you have to look on the ro. Of course, reo is the flowing spoken speech, flowing out of the mouth. And lego, of course, is the pensive, yeah, reo, your diarrhea, the flowing through the system. See, diarreo. It's the spoken. I speak out of my words. The other lego is the thought in the mind, the mental.
To address one as anything, to call a name.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is for reo.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Oh, I guess he's saying I used to be talking about you as servants, but now I'm giving you a new name, and that's.
Mm-hmm. Direct command prescribe. Yeah, I think so. To address, call a name. Huh? Flame that which is spoken said. Apparently, I call you, but now I'm speaking right out in the open and labeling. So that's 15, was it?
Yes.
Poie, of course, present of Poieo, Eideka, perfect of Apon, or Rao, we would say, but Apon, Ekusa, aorist of Akuo, Ignorisa is what, Ruth. Ignorisa.
That is an aorist.
Aorist of Gnorizo. Gnorizo. To know, right? Notice here also the servant does not know what his master, his Lord, does. So if the Lord Jesus was the servant, the obedient servant, you see, no man knoweth the day of the hour. See, this is as his servanthood, as his status. That doesn't mean as to his deity he didn't know. But he voluntarily limited himself the use of his attributes for his own benefit or glorification or gratification. All right, to 16, Ruth.
John 15:16. Huch humes me ex alexaste, al ego ex alexamen humas, kai etheka humas, hena humes hypagite, kai karpon ferite. Kai ho karpos humon mene, hena hoti an aitesete ton pater, ento onamati mu do humi. John?
Okay, that's a long one.
You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and placed you in order that ye should go away and should bear fruit, and your fruit should remain, in order that whatsoever ye should ask the Father in my name, he would give you.
Mm-hmm. He would give it. Do you understood the it there? All right, give you and grant you. That was ex alexaste as well.
Perfect passive tense.
That's perfect middle, probably, because of the passive would be a little different. Error. This time you said perfect. It really is an error. See, from ek lego. See, ex alexaste is ek lego. See, and the aste would be, of course, your errors with the alpha there, the hint. So we translate it as have chosen, but you did choose, you have chosen, is all right in English. It's a good use of the air.
I chose you.
That's right, you chose me, I chose you, right. Ethica.
Well, then that, would that also be not, but it's got a kappa.
That I know, but see, this tithemi, those me verbs are different. See, so you got a lot of kappa aorist. This is an aorist to the kappa. It looks like a perfect, though. Hupagita, present subjunctive hupago, and aitesita is aorist subjunctive of aiteo. Do, of course, is second aorist subjunctive of didomi. So that I might give it to you. So this is a great promise, and the tithemi, to put or to place, or to ordain, or to set forth. You see, set it forth in a certain way, in a place of calling. Mm-hmm. And so, any other comments, question on 16? Ruth 17?
15, 17. Tota and telomai humi, hena agapate alelus.
Okay.
These things I am commanding you, that you love one another.
All right. So here's a relationship between love and commands, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I love you. I command you to love. See.
This is the repeat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's 17, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And tell them I command the present. Any other comments on that? That you love one another. All right, agapate. Now, in this case, again, I command you that you might love. I suppose it would be the aorist or the henna. I mean the subjunctive rather than the henna, but either one could be imperative, indicative, or subjunctive. All right, 18, Ruth.
18. Eho kosmos himas misei. Dinoskete hoti eme proton himon memiseken. John.
Okay.
If the world is hating you, you know that it hated me first. Is that right?
Let's see.
Before you, it hated me.
Now, where are we here? Let me see. 17. If the word 17. Oh, yeah. If
it hated
the word
me before you.
You know that. Firster than you. See, as the Spanish people say, I want to go firster or something. See, but before. See, the proton takes the genitive. So, before you, it hated me before you. Before it hated you, in other words. Mm-hmm. That's the end of that one, isn't it? All right, so that's 18. Misei is the present of Miseo, Genoskete, present of Genosko, and Miseken is what there. That's a beautiful form there, Miseken. From Miseo. Miseo.
That must be
yours, then. Well, it would if it were, but it's Miseo, and he got Miseken with a kappa, and he got the duplication, right? That's right. You've heard of a misogynist, a hater of women. And I suppose a misandrous, hater of men. I suppose you could have that one too, misandrous. Mm-hmm. All right, so this is the fact that the world did hate him, and it hates us because we're not of the world. Mm-hmm. All right, 19, is it?
15, 19. A ectu cosmu ete, ha cosmos an ta ilion ethile. Hotide ectu cosmu uc este, al ego exelexamen humas ectu cosmu diatuto mise humas ha cosmos, John.
All right.
If you were of the world would that's imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Loving.
Would be loving it, as well.
You're out of the world,
mm-hmm.
or the same ectu cosmos.
That's right. You are from outer space. You are from the world. You are out of the world. You are.
It's the same phrase, Dr. Wayne.
Yeah.
If you are of the world, then it says, but because you are of the world. You are not of the world.
Not of the world, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
sorry, we get some stuff off that
hook. Well, here it is again. I chose you of the world.
Out of the world, huh? Ectu,
because of the chosen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of the ectu, yeah.
Okay.
That's right. I chose to choose out ectlegos.
Okay. I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world is hating you.
Okay, that's a long one too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
19. Ete. Is imperfect of Amy. Is that the? See, is that 18?
Yes. No, it's
19. 18. Yeah. Is Eta in there? Yeah.
Yes.
And then Ephile is imperfect of Phileo. That's ex-examen is aorist, isn't it? Aorist of eklego, again. Yeah, that one. So this explains why the world hates the believer if they're really living for the Lord. They hated the Lord before they hated us. We're not of the world. He's chosen us out of the world. Mm-hmm. So that's it. All right, verse 20, please.
Talking about
20.
Pardon me?
Talking about hate.
Mm-hmm.
First, the Lord Jesus said, the greatest commandment, love each other.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite, if anyone hated his brother without
cause,
what's that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great sin.
Great sin, danger of hellfire, and very sin in the Gospels are so.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's right. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you see, the object of the love has to be in focus too. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. See, this is the thing. And in love and keeping commandments and abiding in love, it all works in together, cleanliness through the word. Any other thought? I guess I'll continue that. I don't remember the verse. Is it 21 or 20?
To logu who ego eton humin, uk esti dulos. Made zone to Kuriu out to A M et Dioxan Kayumas Dioxusen A ton logon mu et Teresan Kai ton Humeteron Teresusen.
All right.
Remember the word that I said to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they followed me...
Well, in the case of following, it could be followed so hard behind them that they're going to hit you from the back. So it's also persecuted. It means follow, dioko, but also persecute. It is in both meanings. This probably the context would be if they follow you to hit you and to grab you and to persecute you. All right?
If they persecuted me, they will... They will persecute you all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they kept my word, they will keep yours also.
All right. So that's 20. Mnemonewete is imperative, present imperative. Continue to remember. Apon, the aorist of Lego. Dioxon is the aorist of Dioko, to pursue or to persecute. Both are involved. Dioxusin, future of Dioko. Eteresan, aorist of Tereo. Teresusin, future of Tereo. They will keep. So notice in this verse about the servant and the Lord, not greater. See, he is greater than us. He came as an obedient servant. See, so as his status as a servant, that's why he voluntarily was in submission and subjection to his Father. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, though, then it shall come to pass that saying, when all should be subject to the Father. See, God may be all in all. There's a time when this will be, when he shall have surrendered the kingdom to the Father, then shall be brought to pass that saying. Well, that's very close to that, yes, right? And there's 15, let's see. That should be swallowed, that's right. There's the final, just trying to think of that, where that is. I thought it was 1 Corinthians 15. I don't have my big Bible here. In other words, all things will be subject to the Son, but that thing which is not subject is death, when he shall have given all to the Father. That's the context, but I don't see it in 15:51, 52:53. That God may be all in all. Isn't that 1 Corinthians 15? I thought it was, but maybe it's a different book in a different chapter. Maybe it's earlier, 15. Yes, it is. 20 and 21, 25, 23. Yes, 24. All right. Christ, the first fruit, saying that of Christ it is coming. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him, in other words, the Father. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. In other words, there's still a subject, even after the millennium and after death, there's still a relationship. He is always the Son, the Father is always the Father. Even though they're equal, yet they have different duties and tasks. And here, as the servant on earth, he says he's not greater than the Lord. And he said that. So there is that. But that doesn't mean he's not deity. And that doesn't mean he doesn't have all power. He's all knowing and so on. He voluntarily disused those attributes for his own particular purposes and gratification. All right, anything else?
Paul makes a comparison the same way that every member of our body has other functions. The hand has one function,
yes.
The ear other function, right. The eye other function, so on.
That's all the body subject to unity. All right, 21, please, Ruth.
John 15:21. Alla tauta panta poesusen humin dia ta anamamu hapte uk oidasi ton pemsanta me.
Right.
But these things they will do to you because of my name.
Yeah, all these things. Yeah, panta, tata,
all these things they will do to you because of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me.
All right, they don't know the one that sent me. 21. Poiesusen, the future of poieo. Oida sin, the perfect of oida, first in pempsantame, first aorist participle of tempo. That's why they'll hate, that's why they'll try to kill, because they don't know the one sent him. That's right, if you don't know the Father, you don't know the Son, vice versa. All right, final verse then, Ruth, 22.
15:22. Eme ilthon kai elalisa autois hamartian uk echon. Nunde prophasen. Uk echusi peri tes amartias auto.
If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they do not have a screen. Is that or a
screen? Preface
a screen. For their sins.
Excuse. A cloak or an excuse or something that would cover them up. Mm-hmm. All right.
Is that to shine before? I looked it up once.
Prophecy. Phainomai. Yes, I think so. Prophecy of something. Before. Yeah, you see. Prophino.
In order to obscure, is that what it is?
Yes.
Hide.
The hide, that's right. Anything that would hide, like a screen or a cloak or something, a net.
Covering.
Prophecy, right? Almost looks like prophecy, doesn't it? Prophecies. Find it there?
Yeah, 354. Profino. That appears in the
prophecy. Process from profile, huh?
Pretext.
To appear ahead of, huh? Put in front to hide, the true state, then. Mm-hmm. Fair show of pretext, huh? Spacious cloak.
Pretext.
An excuse, all right, that's good.
Yes.
To appear ahead of time. So this covers up, it's a front, sort of a false face. Isn't it? All right, that they may abide, they have no covering for their sin. So that we got all those verbs, elalisa, perseris, of lalevo, and ich. Son, imperfect of echo, echoes in present. And all this, of course, heirs of echo. So, he came, and now they have no covering, no cloak, no protection.
How is it they would have no sin if he had not spoken to them?
Well, I guess they wouldn't have really had the confrontation with sin. In other words, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so, by his word, he made him conscious of it. Now, they would have had sin, but they would not have been convicted as transgressors, but just as sinners. They'd have fallen short of the mark, but not as transgressors.
Could he mean they would not have the sin of having rejected him?
Well, that could be. That could be. Because
mm-hmm.
that really certainly is a very heinous sin, is not? The world will be convicted and convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and one is of sin because they believe not on me. That certainly is possible. Right?
Some preachers are advocating that that is the greatest sin, mm-hmm. to reject.
That's right. And he had spoken to them, and they knew the truth, but they rejected the truth. And that's why it's a great thing. They have not had the least the sin of rejection. That's possibly the root of what it is. All right, let's go to Ordina and Maddie for tonight. And that's page 237, isn't it? 237, going over to 245. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, and last week we were talking about the comparison and formation of adverbs. And now the comparison of adverbs, like we have comparison of adjectives, good, better, best, never let it rest, tell you good is better and your bad is best. So you have the adverbs, good would be well, I guess, and more well, and most well, see. I don't know any jingle that goes with that. But you notice on 238, the demonstrative, relative, indefinite, and interrogative pronouns, the time, place, manner. Time is pote, then, and noon is now. That's demonstrative, then and now. The relative hote and heneke, when, that's the time. Hotan, the indefinite relative, whenever. Indefinite pote, at some time. And pote, or tote rather, when, interrogative. So here's the time pronouns. And then the place, autu here and hode here. Who is where, and hapu is where, and pu is somewhere, and pu again is where, if it's got a question after. So here is your place pronouns. And telfen, hence, from here. Ekefen is thence, and hothen is whence, and pothen is whence. These are place. And eke, thither. And thade is hither. To here and to there. Hither and thither. Yan is not one, but we know about it from English, don't we? Manner. Hutos is thus or so, like we met tonight, Ruth, right? Tos is as or about. The relative and the indefinite is hopos, and the indefinite plane is pos or po somehow, and pos is how the interrogative. So this is the interrelation of different conjunctions and pronouns together. But the comparison of adverbs, 239 at the top of Dane and Manny. Most of the adverbs are the endings of hos. Or os rather, positive, the same endings as adjectives and the comparative superlative degree. So, teron and tata are the endings. Positive, aspalos, safely. The adverb, comparative, is aspalesteron, superlative, aspalestata. Justly, dekaios, more justly, dekaiateron, and most justly, dekaiatata. Same with iskuros and phobiros. Another group of adverbs have tero, the comparative, and tato in the superlative. For instance, ano is up, the positive comparative, ano tero, upper, I guess, more up, most up, the highest, I guess, higher and highest, ano tato is superlative. Kato, kato tero, so on. These are different. Then the other adverbs are irregular in comparison. Many end in on in the comparative. Takeos, quickly, and takeon, quicker, or more quickly, quickly, I guess it would be, and most quickly, takesta. All right, any questions or comments on these different comparatives of adverbs? All right, let's go for the conjunctions. These are words that join, con hugo, hugo to join, con with, in Latin, and I guess partly Greek also, it's similar. They connect clauses. Conjunctions connect phrases, words, or whole sentences. And so we have a lot of conjunctions. Very many of them are important. Allah, first one there, page 240, strong adversative conjunction. Usually it means but, sometimes something else, but maybe translated in other places, there's nothing hit except or but. But this is the adversative on the contrary. Type of thing. All right, any other kind of comments on Allah? You know, death is a conjunction meaning but many times too, but Allah is stronger than death. That is a contrast, but not as strong as this word here. All right, and ah is a post-positive. That is, it comes after the first word of a sentence, post-positive. Position, post-position, and after-position, that's what it means. It's inferential or illative. Inferential infers something, and a logical ara. Most of the time, it introduces a conclusive statement. It seems to be more subjective and indirect than un or dia. Un is therefore. Dia is sort of a therefore, because, but ara is an inferential. It's a therefore, it's a because, but a little lighter, see. It may be translated therefore, then, or so. In Galatians 3:7 it is. And but it is inferential, inferring something that logically would follow. All right, the bottom paragraph there is a quotation, quite a long one, from Matty, a separate article on Ara. All right, any questions on Ara or Allah? All right, then Gar is, quotes Kuhner there, as a conjunction, may express A, a ground or reason, B, an explanation, C, a confirmation or assurance. Hence, it may be translated as for, or that is, for example, or indeed, or certainly. Those are the three different possibilities. It's post-positive, it's in a position, an after-position, a compound of ge and ara. It's interesting, ge and ara. Ge is a particle, and ara is an influential conjunction. So, gar. I wasn't aware of the ge and the ara there until seeing these things here.
What is ara?
Ara is an inferential, logical conjunction. We just had their meaning, therefore, or then, or so. It's not as strong as un, which is therefore, or dia, which is on account of this, or because of this, or therefore. Mm-hmm. But it is, and then gar. Now, there are these three uses of gar. First, it's most frequently used as the illative sense.
Did you say that meant, Dr. Ray, illative?
Illative is a for. It's an inferential. It's a carrying into the relation of like for this or for that. It's almost a causal. Illative, I think, is causal. Let's we'll have to check that for sure, but that's introducing a reason. Yes, because, that's right. Illative in the sense of because and for. That's the causal. I would just put causal. That's better understood than reason or even for. So it can be because, gar can be because, a reason for something. And it is translated, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for, because, you see, illative, because, or as a reason, he shall save his people from their sins. And this is gar, is right there, autos gar, for he shall save. And then the second meaning, the context seemed to mean that gar is explanatory, for instance. Not for in the sense of because, but for instance, you know, sort of an explanation of something. Luke 14:27. Why do you think evil in your hearts? For instance, God. Which is easier? To say thy sins are forgiven or take up thy bed and walk? In other words, for instance, which is easier? This is an example, so sort of an explanatory thing. The third and final meaning they give to it, unmistakable uses of God as an emphatic particle. Blue Allen Scott, which is a classical lexicon there, we have two volumes, translates it, Allah gar, but really, or certainly. Glass gives yes, indeed, or truth. So it can be emphatic, but indeed, surely. So these are the three different frames of reference for the ge plus the ara, the gar conjunction. We went to 245, all right, we keep going until we get to through de. Any questions on the gar there? So illative or reason or because, explanation, or in emphasis, those three different things. I suppose he used illative because it sort of went with explanatory with the E sound, the emphatic, eh, yeah. All right. Now the de is space 244 of Dane and Matty, and that is a post-positive conjunction, also an after position. Never occurs, usually never, that is, first in a sentence, but usually after some other word. First of all, it's commonly used as an adversative particle, just like Allah, but that's adversative, see. On the other hand, but, when it is translatable, but, however, yet, on the other hand, so that's an adversative particle.
But Allah can come in the first part of the sentence, is that right?
That is not postpositive, that's what you're saying. Let's see, that's not necessarily, that's right. It may be postpositive, let me see.
It doesn't say it.
No, it does not say it, that's right. I would say, because it doesn't say it, that Allah could come right at the first. That's right. I would think that would be true, Ruth. We'll have to see, and sometimes in John maybe we'll find that. But most of these are post-positives, but apparently Allah's not. The second meaning of death may be like transitional or continuative particle. It may be and or moreover, then or not. It's like chi, see, and, that type of moreover. Not but or the adversative, but and. Now the feast of the Jews was near death, see. And then the third meaning, closely akin to this, is its explanatory use. It could be explanatory. Now this is the judgment, namely, now, death. Explaining it. So it could be adversative, but it could be continuing now in the sense of transitional, moreover, or and of course it could be explanatory now, explaining what's happening. And the fourth meaning of it, and final, this particle has another use very few Greek scholars have expressed. It's the emphatic or intensive at times. It means the equivalent of indeed, really, in fact, death. Yea, you see, in 2 Corinthians 10:2. So that's the, those are the four meanings of death that we have. And I think we ought to know them as we meet them. And a lot of times this is part of the genius of translating words as they ought to be translated. Any other comments or questions you have on these pages of Dana Matt? Or anything else to see? All right, well, we've come to the end of another Greek class. Now, don't forget, Ruth, I don't remember, and Mr. Harrison both will have to call Bill. Maybe you could call him. There'll be no class tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow, next week, because it's in the midst of our school vacation for Easter and so on, and I don't know what we're going to do. We may be away. Well, that's right. He did, so he knows already about it, doesn't he? And, all right, I just want to be sure, Mr. Ashton, I want to remind you, too, there'll be no, oh, I didn't even call the class, but there'll be no Bible study class either on Tuesday. Did I tell them last week? Oh, I probably didn't even tell them 2 nights ago. I forgot all about it. No, so I must call everybody and tell them. All right, well, if you please close a word of prayer as we close our lesson this week. That's the word of prayer.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee for the Word of God, which is
yes.
A two-edged sword which cuts down on the hearts of men.
Yes.
Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee that we have the opportunity to be around the Word of God, to study and to
yes.
know better how to preach and teach
yes.
the others. Father, we thank Thee for our teacher, Dr. Waite, that he spends his time with us. Father, bless him and inspire him with divine inspiration that he might be able to explain to us as Thou wants him to do. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee that Thou hast permitted to me personally to be present this evening.
Yes.
And for Ruth that she was reading and translating the words which are so precious unto us. Father, we pray for Bill, as he is not able to be with us, being in his jury. Be with him, O Father. Bless him that he would do with the other people in a Christian way, even in his jury. Now be with us as we are going to our own homes. Guide us and use us for Thy glory. In Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. And amen.
Amen. All right, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.